Welcome to PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Rangiorno. I'm the host. I am here today with my confidant, brother, and fellow first wife, Anthony Rangiorno.
Hi, everyone.
Anthony, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to talk about this movie.
Today on PCMC, we are discussing the 1996 classic.
Classic.
The First Wives Club. Let's talk about a history of the First Wives Club before we get into it.
This is an HBO movie. So we grew up in the same house, so I'm assuming we have very similar backstories with this movie.
I don't think I watched it
until, really?
Until I was like in my 30s.
Get out of here. This is like a movie I've loved since I was a little boy. Right. I was the target demo.
Yes.
Little gay boy. This was on like every 5 minutes on HBO, and I just watched. I don't remember the I think the first time I watched it was like mom and dad were watching it. Because it was like a new movie.
Yeah.
And then it was just on so much, and I would always watch it whenever it was on. It was just one of those movies when it was on. I was like, yes, this is on. I'm watching it.
Yes.
And I just love it. I know most of the lines. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
I watched it for the first time, I think, in my 30s.
Really? What'd you think of it?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
So why did you
watch it? But the cultural idea of it is only them singing. That's the them singing You Don't Own Me is like the only thing people know about it if you don't know it.
Yeah.
I think I watched it because I just watched movies. I don't know. It was probably available somewhere.
Nobody like recommended it or anything.
Maybe you did. I don't know. I think it was probably streaming somewhere and I was like, oh, I've never seen that. I'll watch it.
God, it's fun.
It's fantastic. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's great.
It's amazing.
From what it's based on a novel, but from what I understand, it's like one of those movies that's just like 100 times better than the book.
Well, okay, let's give some credits. It's directed by Hugh Wilson, who directed Police Academy.
Yep.
Guarding Tess and Blast from the Past, starring Brendan Fraser.
What a catalog.
It's written by Robert Harling, who also wrote the screenplay for Steel Magnolia.
Yep.
And
which is another great
Evening film. Star.
Another movie that I like.
Yeah, another young gay boy movie.
Yeah.
It's based on the book by Olivia Goldsmith. The composer of the music is Mark Shaiman.
He got a great score.
Yes. Mark Shaiman, he did the music Hairspray and stuff. Produced by Scott Rudin, who's done everything.
Yeah.
And of course stars Bette Midler, Goldie Hawn
and Diane Keaton.
As Annie.
Annie.
I don't know why they went with that name.
But it fits.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It is a true screwball comedy
that
they don't make anymore.
It's a movie for adults.
Yeah.
It's a movie for women.
Yeah.
And a movie for adults. And gosh, they don't make those anymore. Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like if you're listening to this, you know First Wives Club.
I feel like everybody knows.
So I don't think we need to synopsize it.
No.
So let's just dig right into it. In the first scene, first of all, I always forget the first scene that they're in college. Are they overdubbed by the adult actors?
Yes, they are.
All of them?
Because
I feel like the Bette Midler character isn't.
No, she definitely is.
No, the Diane Keaton one definitely is.
No, they all are.
Because it's ridiculous.
They all are. And so Stocker Channing.
Yes.
They all are.
Okay.
And they cast insane lookalikes.
No, the lookalikes are incredible. Yeah.
Like the Goldie Hawn one like looks like the young Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have to because everyone knew her when she was young.
So there are four gals in college
is
the first scene. They're graduating. It's the 60s. And they all they toast to like being friends forever.
Yeah.
And then it jumps forward to the 90s and Stocker Channing
commits suicide.
It's like the first,
which is a very
for
a movie that's really funny. It's got a super dark opening.
Yeah, it's super dark because she does it so intentionally.
Her maid is the same maid from Clueless.
Yeah. She sends her home early.
Yeah,
And then you find it after it's because she just found out that her husband was having an affair and like publicly embarrassed
her. Yeah, and what's interesting is it's a great feminist movie because it's not just that
it's so their husbands 90s left feminism.
Them. Oh sure, yeah. Sure.
They left them for younger women.
But it's not only that; it's that each woman helped make the husband what he is.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
either through connections or support.
Yeah,
all of the husbands are successful because of the women.
Yes.
And that's an important thing.
Yes.
Diane Keaton is Annie. Bette Midler is Brenda. And Goldie Hawn is Elise. And Elise is a movie star. Elise Elliot. She won an Oscar.
And Stockard Channing is Cynthia.
Yes.
Cynthia is the fourth.
Yes.
I want that prequel about the four of them.
Yes.
Elise Elliot. So she's the best. I think she's... They're all fantastic. Yeah. But I think in terms of like camp...
Yeah.
Like Elise Elliot is just like the proto, like Jenna Maroney.
Yeah.
She's just so good.
Rob Reiner is her.
Is her plastic surgeon.
If I give you another facelift, you'll be able to blink your lips. Yeah.
So good. My favorite part is the scene, the iconic scene when they're on the scaffolding.
Yes.
The window washer. Yeah. And then the couple is like, is that Elise Elliot?
You look great.
You look great.
Yeah.
So good.
Brenda... Her like, husband, Morty,
is played Dan Hedaya. By the perfectly cast Dan Hedaya.
I love Dan Hedaya, also in Clueless.
Dan Hedaya, I told you I'm watching Cheers. Dan Hedaya is also Tortelli.
Incredible.
Rhea Perlman's ex-husband on Cheers.
Is one of the top three Dan Hedayas.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say.
For sure. This, Dick, and Clueless.
I was going to say, I love Dick. And you could isolate that.
Who doesn't?
I was going to say the Addams Family is the villain in the first Addams Family movie. Yeah, he's great in that.
I always forget that he's... Because he's not very Hedaya-ish in that.
I looked him up. I was like, where's he been? He's like in his late 80s. He's super old. He didn't make it until he was like 50.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He was in... I think Cheers was like his first big thing,
right? He's in...
And he had a failed spinoff.
The Tortellis.
The Tortellis, yeah.
He's in the fourth Alien movie as like a general, he's wearing like a tank top, and he's got the hairiest shoulders
he's so
to
hairy.
Ever be committed to cinema.
He's got like hairy ears. He's just
he's so hairy. The fact that he's with a young Sarah Jessica Parker.
She is so hot.
She's
young
very...
Young Sarah Jessica Parker. She's so funny. Yeah. She's so good. She's so hot.
Yeah.
And then I remember as a kid being like, I can't believe that that's two of the Sanderson sisters.
Oh, yeah. That's
fighting
right.
Over the same man again.
Yeah. Again.
They're always fighting over the same man.
Yeah.
She's so good.
She's, what's her name? Shelley.
Shelley, yeah.
I think it was going over their background.
Yes.
Morty is like, he owns like department stores. Yeah. Oh, no, like electronic stores. And she helped him by like working on the cash register for all his stores. Yeah. And then he got rich and he left her for a younger... And we learn later on, like in the beginning, her mob connections helped him.
Yeah. Which is so funny because they're Jewish, but she has like an Italian uncle.
Yeah, Uncle Carmine.
Uncle Carmine, yeah. Who's connected.
Fantastic.
So funny.
And then Annie is... She was an advertising executive and then she... Fell in love with a guy played by real life monster.
Yeah.
What's his name?
The real life monster dad from Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
Real life monster.
This movie is a real life monster.
He's a blonde man. You did. Have you seen? That's like a meme now. Like blonde men.
Grown up blonde men are just.
Are full of sin.
Terrifying.
They can't help it.
Stephen Collins. That's his name. True life monster.
Yeah.
And she helped him start his career, and then he left her, or they're separated in the beginning.
Right, but he's fucking their therapist.
The worst therapist. Seeing.
Yeah.
What the therapist does is evil and egregious.
Yeah.
Her therapist played by Marcia Gay Harden. Yeah. She's seeing both of them, but then she's fucking the husband.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I like it. She's like, you are my therapist. And she goes, I'm a woman. This is such a good comeback. It's so weird.
Yeah.
She's so great.
And then she's got a daughter who's a real 1990s movie lesbian.
Yes. So good.
This movie even has we're going to a gay bar scene.
It's a great lesbian joke scene.
It's fantastic.
The best joke in that scene is when she shows a picture of Morty to the woman and she goes, she's butch. It's so good.
Dan Hedaya.
And then Elise Elliot was famous first.
And he produced
her movies and she made him rich and famous. And then he left her for a young star.
Elizabeth Berkley. Fantastic in this movie.
Yeah, great.
Hollywood did her so dirty.
I know.
After Showgirls. She's so good. She's really good in this movie. And then there's like crazy cameos. Well, you got Barnes and Pinchot.
Yeah.
You've got Maggie Smith.
Maggie Smith is so good.
She's fantastic.
As Gwenilla.
Yeah. What's her name? Gwenilla Garcia.
Gwenilla Garson Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like
the society lady.
Yeah, right.
She's so good.
When they're in like the...
And doing like a southern accent.
Yeah.
It's what a choice.
When they're in the auction, she's like, Jackie O had one just like that.
It's so good.
It's fantastic. And then there's crazy cameos. Ivanka Trump.
Yeah, which is wild. Yeah. Don't get mad. Get everything.
Yeah. And Gloria Steinem.
Yeah.
Ed Koch.
Yeah. It's so good. It's such a New York-y movie.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Got that great flavor.
Yeah. And it's like...
Also, the actress who plays Annie's mother is great, too.
Yeah, she is. She is. Timothy Oliphant as the young director who I think is supposed to be like based on Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
That's his first movie.
Timothy is it?
Oliphant. Yeah.
He's hot. He was hot back then. He was on Sex and the City too.
Yeah.
Around that time. Bronson Pinchot as the decorator.
Yes.
Is just so.
All right. The scene great. Where they have to steal Morty's
books. Yeah.
Books. And Bronson Pinchot comes. I mean, that's so screwball. That's such like people literally hiding behind doors. It's good. So great.
The windows are the eyes of the apartment.
Yeah. He's screaming at the chair. He's like, all right, calm down. I'll cover it.
Morty, it was only $40,000. It was a gift with my money.
I bought myself the Lamborghini. So I guess Morty and Brenda are divorced.
They're divorced.
No, I think they are. Divorced
because then
Elise and Bill?
Bill, yeah.
Are divorcing.
Uh-huh.
Because we see like them with their lawyers and he wants half of everything.
He wants alimony.
Right. So she does the brilliant thing where she repossesses everything and then sells it all to Annie for $1.
Yeah.
And then gives 50 cents to him.
That's great. All right, fine. You can have the whole thing.
And then you've got Annie, who in the beginning, like, she's like, we're just separated. She thinks they're going to get back together.
Yeah.
He's a monster in this movie, too. Like, he has sex with her before he tells her he wants a divorce.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
So they over time, so the movie, the first scene ends with them, like, toasting to being friends forever.
Yeah.
And then it flashes forward to the future, right? Cynthia kills herself. They're at the funeral. Cynthia's husband is with Heather Locklear.
Yes.
Who doesn't have any lines. She's just there as his like new hot young woman.
That's horrible. That's so dark too, like them at the funeral.
Yeah. So they like have a lunch together because it's been like years since they've seen each other, even though like they all live in New York still.
Yeah.
They just like drifted apart. And then that lunch scene is great because they just get drunker and drunker.
Yeah.
And you know, they just say such funny things. Like, so Annie, they start like badgering Annie about the fact that like her husband isn't coming back.
Yeah.
And then there's the great part where like Brenda's like talking about how Elise has had so much work done. She's like, it's bizarre. It's uncanny. And she like reaches out to touch her face. It's so good.
Well, when they have the fight at the end and they're all...
What does Elise say when she's drinking? She's like, it's a Holocaust, baby.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Or when she's like, put down that Oscar. That's my first award. And she's like, I know, it was for your first talkie.
Yeah. Also, that was the line that got Jennifer Lawrence in trouble, remember?
What?
When Jennifer Lawrence won an Oscar, when she went up there, she went, it says, I beat Meryl. And then people were like, I can't believe she said that about Meryl Streep. And she was like, it's a First Wives Club joke.
Yeah.
Because she says, what is it? It says, I beat
Meryl. Right. Yeah. Oh, so good. Sean Connery's 300 years old and he's still a stud.
Your first talkie.
They all get a letter from Stalker Channing.
Yeah.
That like explains.
Super sad.
It's very sad.
So they have that lunch and then... Yeah. That's how they like get back into each other's lives.
Yeah. And then they decide like together they're going to like get revenge on their husbands.
Yeah.
And then it's like a real scheme.
It is. I love when Elise is like, well, that building I own downtown. And they're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they open up like a storefront.
Right.
It like turns into like a legit business.
Right. Or like then at the end it's like a nonprofit.
Yeah, it's nonprofit where they like offer counseling.
Yeah.
There's some real New York One celeb cameos.
Yeah. Because that's news.
Yeah.
Oh, you had Kathy Lee Gifford,
yeah,
with a microphone that says "Reaches to Kathy Lee." She never. That's not what that show was. That yeah. was a talk show, and also yeah. the opening of a nonprofit's not news.
Yeah,
so
well, it's a human interest piece.
Yeah.
So yeah, they vow to get revenge. That's the original goal,
right? The lesbian daughter, who the whole joke is she's a lesbian.
Yeah,
is. A big one.
That's like such a great line. Oh, daddy, I'm a lesbian.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I can't take any more surprises. I'm a lesbian. A big one. Well, in the beginning, she's like, I can't believe you slept with that man. He's like, well, he is your father.
Yeah.
She goes to work for the father to like get close, like uh-huh. as a, like a inside spy.
Yeah.
Elise starts like taking all of the stuff from Bill.
Yeah. Well, it's like the original setup is like they're each going to like, work on each other's husbands, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that they can, like, not sort of get caught.
Is that what happens now?
Well, they like, strategically, like, collect
oh, yeah.
information uh-huh. on all of the husbands.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like each one is doing it.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I forget. Where is it? Oh, no, it's after Bette Midler's son's bar mitzvah. That she's Uncle Carmine, and he says, like, a lot of the inventory in his first yeah. store fell off a truck.
It was fiction.
Yeah.
The inventory fell off a truck, and then he said his books are fiction, bestsellers.
Yeah, so that's because how they're going to get him.
Because they couldn't figure out how to get him.
Right, 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 right. They couldn't yeah. find anything on him.
And they couldn't find anything out about Bill either until it turns out that...
Oh,
find out that she's...
Liz Brothers underage.
Yeah.
Liz Imagine if Stephen underage. Collins played that.
Yeah.
That would have been a horrible portent. Yeah.
So then in the end, I know we're jumping around, but in the end, are you happy with that Brenda and Morty get back together?
That's a great question because I was going to ask you that.
I am. I think when I watch it, I feel like you're meant to think that they miss each other.
Yeah. You feel bad for her and he's definitely wrong, but you get that like he's getting over this stupid like midlife crisis.
Sarah Jessica Parker says like I'm not Brenda, and he says like no, you're certainly not.
Yeah, almost a good line is when he tells Paul Rudd to go to the party.
Yeah. Oh god, it's so good.
Dan Hedaya really knows how to fucking stick the knife yeah. in.
Go to the party. Go.
Yeah, and he gives him that look.
Damn.
Yeah, she's such a villain in it.
She is. She's so good. But it's great that she's also just like so stupid and such a social climber. That it's so easy to like to mess with her because right. they just get Gwenella to like
right
have her spend money wildly and like
right
bring in this crazy decorator so that they could get into the apartment and like
yeah it's interesting when you look at all of their relations to the new wives because her Brenda and Shelley fight
right
where and Aaron Annie's husband like. Left her for the therapist.
Yeah.
And then with Elise's case, Elizabeth Berkley like looks up to yeah. her like a hero.
Yeah.
I'm
going to be Monique and you could be my mom.
Right. Cause she goes on a like an interview with a director to be in a movie and she thinks she's going to be offered the main role and she's being offered the mom.
Yeah.
And that upsets her. And then she finds out that the ex-husband's producing it and that the girl is. That Elizabeth Berkley is going to play the main girl.
Well, she has that great line when she's like, "For in Hollywood, the roles for women are babe, mom, and district attorney."
Yeah, yeah. I think it's good that they get together because I think it's well done. It's earned in a good way.
You get the sense that he's actually changed.
Yeah, yeah. And as for the other, I really love. Probably the thing I like the most is what Annie does.
Yeah,
Annie really like fucking. She does a hostile takeover.
Yeah,
because her husband is part of an advertising firm. She gets the money from uh-huh. Elise. Well, Elise sells her all of Bill's stuff
right
for a dollar, and then she puts all that stuff up for auction, which they on a side scheme get Sarah Jessica Parker
right.
to buy
right.
And then with all of that money,
she buys out
Aaron. The two partners, yeah. and that's a hostile takeover. Now she owns more than he does.
I love, she's such a good actress. That part when he's like, that's enough, and he bangs the desk, and you see her like, look at him.
Right.
Like, because she's, her whole thing is like, she's so like wimpy.
Yeah.
And then you see her like finally stand up to him. Oh, yeah. It's so great.
Right. She's the one who's like afraid of everything and like naive and stuff. Yeah. And the daughter's like always like, you have to stand up. You're a doormat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. Maybe it's because I know he's a real life monster.
Yeah.
But when he gets she really gets him hard.
Yeah.
And like truly emasculates him. Like, yeah. And he when he's like
grow from love.
Yeah, yeah. And when he's like, this will ruin me. I have to start new. Yeah. Which is like
it's funny because he's like he's echoing her position. Yeah. Because he's like, I have to start all over again at age 50. Nobody's gonna want me.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah. You know who else is in it? Leah DeLaura from Orange is the New Black. She's in the gay bar scene. She's the one who comes up to Elise's like, I knew you were gay.
Oh, yeah. I told all my friends, Elise Elliott, she's gay.
Yeah. And so that was like, she's with me.
Yeah. So good.
In the 90s, you couldn't have a comedy without a fun gay bar scene.
God bless it.
It's what a time. What a time. Yeah, and then there's the You Don't Own Me.
Yeah, that's I think that's like the most iconic part.
Because I was looking this up a little bit last night. Like, that's a pretty like iconic feminist song. Like, like the lyrics alone are like pretty wild. Because I think it came out in like the 60s or something.
Yeah, it did. And they're wearing the white suits.
Yeah. And that's kind of a theme too, which is like they were young in the 60s.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like... It was they grew up in the time of like second wave feminism.
There's a line about like burning our bras and stuff. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, then there's a line where Brenda's like, you had sex with every male student and half the faculty. And she's like, well, it was the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about the not delicate way they deal with Elise's alcoholism.
Yeah.
It's really not. Take it very seriously.
It's not. It's like one of those. It's like an In Just Like That Miranda alcoholism.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know what? I've decided I'm not going
to
drink.
I'm not going to be an alcoholic anymore. And as we all know, it's very easy for an alcoholic to stop drinking.
All bottles. I had guess. Who? Guns N' Roses?
Yeah.
So good.
Brenda's my favorite.
Yeah, she's so good.
Bette Midler is great. What's funny is the thing with Bette Midler is. Everybody's like, she's fat. And like, and Shelley's like, oh, let's get in your size. And it's like, she's not that fat.
No, she's not.
She's not that fat at all. But the whole thing is she's fat.
Yeah. Gosh. That ages poorly.
Right. It's funny. Like, even like a movie that's supposedly right-headed. Yeah. You look back and you're like, well, that ages pretty poorly. And even the thing of like women against women.
I was like, thinking about that today. Like, if they were to remake it. Remake it, kind of.
They remade it as a show in 2019 with an African-American cast,
but
which I've not
like
seen.
But I feel like it was really more of like a, they paid for the branding.
Yeah, because all I watched was the trailer and there weren't any jokes in it. So no. I think it was like a drama. Yeah.
It's kind of like that new Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's like, why are we even calling it this? Yeah. It's so different.
Yeah.
But I think if they were to make it now, there would be like, the young women would not be the enemies.
Yeah.
They would not be the villains. Or at least by the end, they would kind
they would
of
be redeemed.
Be redeemed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Shelley's
a villain the whole way through. Yeah. And we feel like we feel satisfied when she like hooks up with Bill in the end.
Right.
Because he likes younger women and she's like a predator for older men.
Right.
So it's like, oh, good. They're going to ruin each other.
Ruin each other. Yeah.
And
then the therapist you never really see again.
No, you
and
don't really see her again.
Elizabeth Berkley you never really see again either.
Yeah. At the end, when Elise does the play, she's there.
Oh,
she's
yeah, like, she is.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
She's like a fan of hers the whole way through.
Which is that sweet.
Yeah. Shout out. Let me give a shout out to my high school film teacher, Mickey Tannenbaum. He's an extra in the bar mitzvah scene.
Is he?
He's sitting right in front of Uncle Carmine.
Did you know that before watching this movie?
No. I noticed it immediately the first time I watched it because he's so prevalent in the shot.
I forgot about Mr. Tannenbaum. Is he still with us?
Yes, he is.
He is. Okay, yeah. Great.
I don't know if he still works.
I don't think he retired while I was still there. Yeah.
Well, he went to become a college professor full time.
Oh, he did?
So I don't know if he still does that or not.
Okay.
But he was the first film class I ever took. It was high school. And he
he showed you Say Anything.
He showed me fucking Casablanca. So it was more of a film like appreciation class. But yeah, shout out to him. And I always forget he's in it, and then every time I've seen him, I'm like, oh shit, it's just a Tannenbaum. He does good. He's great in it. At what point Brenda does something loud and he looks over at her. He like notices her, but not so much that it's taking your attention away. Shout out to him.
You know, this movie belongs in, like, I don't know how to describe it, but there's a certain, like, flavor of 90s movies that I can't quite articulate, but this is definitely one of them. Like, I would put this with, like, The Mirror Has Two Faces.
Oh,
I guess,
really?
Like, yeah, like,
that was not what I was expecting you to say at all.
Like, or You've Got Mail, like 90s New Yorkie romantic comedies.
Oh, okay. Even though it's not a cinema movie, it reminds me a little bit of, like, My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah.
That's a, yeah, but that's such a different movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
was. Whatever happened to the, well, I guess this isn't really a romantic comedy, is it?
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's just a comedy.
Yeah.
the score, I like that the score has a sort of fun, like a militaristic, like, da, yeah, da, 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 like when they're getting real screwball.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got a great use of Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves.
Oh my God. The montage.
The montage to end all montages.
Yeah.
That's always on my playlist. Anytime I make a playlist, it's just such a bop. and the lyrics are so fitting.
Yes. Yeah. Right. That's them, like, going into business.
Yeah.
Yeah. They open up, like, a nonprofit that, like, helps
first wives, they say.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Bette Midler. Her name is Shelley. Shelley the Barracuda. She's 12.
Yeah. That's such a good line. And she's crying when she says it.
Yeah.
She's 12.
Yeah. It's such a charming movie. It's hard to be critical of it. But, like, I guess there are moments that are maudlin. Like, especially Brenda. Like, you really feel for Brenda. Like she's the most sad, I think, of all of them.
Yeah.
Because she, like, had a kid.
Yeah.
Like, she goes out and eats alone.
That part's super sad.
It's very sad. But I like eating alone.
So do I. But you're meant to feel sad in that moment.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's couples all around her.
Yeah. That's why I think you're supposed to root for them to get back together.
Yeah, yeah. And well, Shelley treats Moria like such shit. I love their apartment, by the way. Like, the weird banisters that are, like, hanging off. It's, like, that
horrible, like, modern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's awful decoration.
Yeah.
Yeah. The like, hanging banisters.
Yeah.
And the spiral staircase. I want to live in Annie's house.
It feels very Nancy Myers.
Yeah.
Nor Efron-y.
Yeah.
That's the good shit.
That's the good shit.
I feel like her mother could have been a little funnier. Maybe like an Elaine Stritch.
She would have been great, Elaine Stritch.
She also would have been good as fucking Maggie Smith's role.
Elaine Stritch?
Yeah.
But Maggie Smith is so good.
Yeah, she's great in it. Maggie Smith has never been young.
Never. the scene where she's having lunch with Shelley is so great.
Yeah, yeah.
Fork. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, when I met you, I thought to myself, she's someone. She's something. She's just like Sarah Jessica Parker. I always, like, obviously I love Sarah Jessica Parker, but I often forget, like, how she actually does have range.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, she's kind of been typecast as, like, the Carrie Bradshaw.
Sure,
but, like,
yeah.
Before that, like, she played a lot of different roles. And, like, she's just, like, a straight villain / clown.
In this. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's so good.
Every scene, the joke is on her. Like, in every scene, she doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And we do.
Yeah. She's got, I mean, I saw her in Plaza Suite. She was so good playing three different characters. She was great. The Family Stone is a great movie oh my God, she's so, like, unlikable. She's just, like, very deeply unlikable in that movie.
Wait, what is that movie?
It's the movie where she's engaged. I can't remember the actor's name. But she goes to meet his family. And it's Diane Keaton, actually. Diane Keaton is his mother.
Oh, really?
And then Rachel McAdams is his sister.
Okay,
and it's like,
yeah.
It's like a big,
I never saw
it's like it. A Christmas. It's at Christmas time. She, like, goes to meet his family because he's going to propose. And they all hate her because she's just, like, so awkward and unlikable and weird. It's a great movie. But it's such a departure for her. She's not at all charming or cute in that role.
Interesting.
But she's really good. Yeah, they're also good. You know,
not a stretch for Diane Hollywood, Keaton.
No.
She's basically doing her Diane
Keaton
thing.
What Hollywood does to women, though. Like, it really, like, why isn't Bette Midler, why aren't Bette Midler and Goldie Hawn still in stuff? I mean, if they don't want to be, that's great. But if it's because they can't get cast, like, they're great.
Nothing's written for women.
Right. Well, yeah. Which,
like, that's the thing.
I also really like The Banger Sisters with Goldie Hawn and Susan Sarandon. Do you ever see that?
Yes, I did.
It's a great movie.
I saw that with mom.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
But I was like 25. Yeah, like, yeah. I was not young.
It's a good movie. But yeah, like they're, you know, I'm sure they're still terrific. I mean, Bette Midler was just in Hocus Pocus 2.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great.
I love Bette Midler. She's great. She's the only one that actually can sing.
Yeah, she has a song on the soundtrack because, of course, she does.
But that was in her fucking contract. Yeah. Fucking better.
Yeah, I guess it's not much of a stretch for Diane Keaton. She plays that role kind of like the mousy, like.
Yeah, or like I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, like frazzled, yeah. Harried yeah. Woman.
Yeah.
The part when the thing falls on the side of the building is just such great physical comedy.
It's so wacky.
It's so wacky.
It's sitcom and then it's great that wacky.
Maggie Smith is like in the car watching it happen. Yeah, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All to get the books.
Yeah, it's so
and then
good.
The Uncle Carmine takes Morty, puts a bag over his head, yeah. And then they bring him to a meat locker.
Yeah, it's so good. It's like Sopranos.
Right, and then she takes over the business.
It's so good.
They're good as a couple.
They are.
It was like, please don't, brother, don't embarrass me. Don't make a scene here. You never listen to me. For 20 years, you never listen to me.
Why do you think this movie has such a gay following?
Well,
I mean, I guess you're going to say I should ask you that, but I'm asking you that.
Okay.
Because this is I'm not gay. This is like a gay movie.
Is it?
Yeah. I think the easy answer is it's just like it's about like middle-aged women that are funny and
yeah, there's a cattiness to
self-possessed.
It.
Self-possessed.
People are reading each other. People are making fun of each other. What would you say as an actual gay person?
I guess that's it. But I mean, I don't know. I loved this movie even as a kid.
But you were gay as a kid.
Yeah, of course I was. But like, yeah, I guess that's what drew me to it.
But tell me, I don't know. It's news to me that it's like.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But like how? Like do you see other like drag been, shows of it? Do you see
for
it
sure,
referenced?
Yes. Referenced all the time, especially Elise Elliott.
Really?
There have been like, there's like other gay podcasters that have like done episodes on it. Like it's really? Definitely like a queer movie. I think like anything that has like self-possessed, self-actualized women.
Uh-huh.
Is very attractive to gay men.
Well, Bette Midler, even before this movie, had a queer
like a
following.
Icon. Yeah.
Yeah, she always had a huge gay fan base.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you think, so does it hold up in that sense?
What do you mean?
Obviously, it's still funny and still interesting, yeah. But like, does it, is there a part of it that's like, the liking of it, is a part of it that's like winky, like because it's campy, or is it,
I think
or is it a genuine?
I think it's for sure campy.
Okay.
You don't think? I mean, I think so.
I think it gets into the finer details of like if you can know your camp or not.
I feel don't like know if it does.
What Elise does, the Elise character is the most like campy kind of role.
Also, Gwenilla is camp. That whole
sure,
character
yeah.
is very campy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Elise too. Like I said, like she feel like she's like kind of like the proto Jenna Maroney.
Yeah.
Like Jenna's certainly like less self-aware
and
than
dumb.
Elise is and dumber, but kind of but like the older like past her prime quote unquote
yeah.
But like actress type like very vain and self-centered.
Yeah. I recently for the first time watched Death Becomes Her.
Great, another gay movie.
Okay, I want to ask you about this. I have
well, also the gays have claimed horror. As theirs.
Sure. Okay.
So, and that falls into like horror comedy.
Have you watched the documentary Queer for Fear?
No.
It's so good. It's
I'm
so
sure
fantastic.
I would love it. I'm sure there's been a million essays written about why.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't love it.
Really?
I didn't love it. I did say to Jen, though, imagine if this movie were older and the characters were played by Bette Davis and Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
That would make this perfect.
I feel like that's what was envisioned.
I agree. And also, it was originally made to be a Tales from the Crypt movie, and you can see that very clearly.
In the original
clearly.
Trailer, the Tales from the Crypt music
yeah.
is playing.
You can see that very much in its tone. But I don't know if the tone works for that long
it's
a
little,
movie.
It's cartoony.
Right.
And it's like, it's one of those movies that like, it kind of is going for camp.
Right.
But
I think... Like, Tales from the Crypt were half-hour episodes. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So like, having like... Usually having like a kind of like balls to the wall insane ending, like last image. That's very much like Tales from the Comic and the show.
They literally shatter.
You're right, and yeah. they're just like heads. Yeah. But like for a feature movie, it yeah. feels like it's too.
But I also I think that the performances in that movie are incredible.
Why is that a gay classic?
I think it's also it's like a feud between two women.
Okay.
I just think there's something about that that's very attractive to gay. I want to say especially gay men.
But that's the thing that wouldn't hold up today, right? Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I mean, it's like they're both beautiful. They're both talented. They're both.
But like in both of these movies we're talking about, what's pitting them against each other is a man and feeling like they're both struggling for scraps.
Yeah. Well, listen, there's no shortage of toxicity in the gay man community. I mean look at what people say about Andy Cohen, right? Like there is a criticism that gay men like live off of like women tearing each other apart.
Yeah.
And I think that that's valid. So in that way it doesn't hold up in like, you know, in a way that I don't know if it were made today if it would be made the same way, I guess is the answer to that question. But I do think that it holds. It's definitely a classic.
Mm-hmm. Is it just people our age that remember this movie?
The First Wives Club?
Yeah.
I feel like it is. I don't know. I don't know if like younger generations are like watching it.
That's a shame.
It is a shame.
It should be remembered.
What do you think the kids would say about this? I'm sure they'd have some problems.
I mean, it depends. If they're
They'd be like, Bette Midler shouldn't get back with him.
Right. I could see more liberal-minded young people having a lot of problems with some of that.
Yeah.
And them fighting and stuff.
And them all being like wealthy white women.
Right. Exactly. They all actually have great lives.
Yeah. They all live in like beautiful New York City houses.
Right. That's for sure. Yeah. I don't know. It's on streaming. It's on Paramount. And it's also for free on Tubi. So it's available.
Maybe it'll be rediscovered.
To this podcast,
we have so many questions for you. We need a young correspondent.
Really? I want to know what you think about this movie. If other people talk about this movie, is it something you know?
It might just be... Like, I know a lot of people my age who love this movie.
Not everything can be timeless. It doesn't necessarily mean it's
this one will live and die with the Gen Xers and the Millennials.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, like basically almost all of my friends know and like this movie.
What was the last movie Goldie did? Was it Banger Sisters?
It might have been. That was like the 2000s.
Meanwhile, Kurt Russell continues to work.
Of course he does.
Oh, wait, no. She was in the Kurt Russell movie, The Christmas Chronicles, as Mrs. Claus.
Yikes.
She was the narrator in something called SBF 18.
Don't know what that is.
She was in Snatched with...
Oh, yeah, she made that movie with Amy Schumer.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
People hated that.
What was that called?
It's about them. They were like, they're like stranded in an island, on an island or something.
Okay.
It's a goofball comedy.
And then the Banger Sisters in 2002, 22 years ago.
Yikes.
So she really has not been working.
No. Maybe she just likes it that way. Yeah, I forgot about that movie with Amy Schumer. She plays her mom.
I don't know if I ever knew that movie existed.
People hate Amy Schumer.
Yeah, they do. I wonder why.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Although that new show she's in, like, people seem to like, at least some people, that Life with Beth or Life and Beth, that show.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Bette Midler, she's in something called Sitting in Bars with Cake, Hocus Pocus 2.
Hocus Pocus 2.
Oh, she's in the Addams Family cartoons as Grandma. I forgot about that.
That's great. Good for her.
She works a lot.
And how about, what's Diane Keaton been up to?
Let's see.
Will we get a sequel? Can we get a First Wives Club too?
What could it be? What could we do?
I don't know, but I love it. I want it.
She's in something this year called Arthur's Whiskey. Oh, she's in the book club movies.
Oh, yeah.
Where they read fucking...
Oh, the old ladies.
50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
She's in something last year called Maybe I Do.
Okay.
Who with fucking Richard Gere.
Richard Gere.
That's a secret movie.
Yeah. secret.
Mac and Rita.
Okay. Don't know what that is.
Don't know what that is.
But these could be very good movies. They're just buried.
Right.
Because we don't market movies anymore for adults.
Yeah. We don't.
She's in the original.
She's in the Young original. Pope.
She's in the 90s Father of the Bride movies, because now there's three iterations of those.
There's a third one?
Yeah, it's the Andy Garcia.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Is the recent one.
Yeah. Why don't they remake Annie Hall?
You think?
I mean, we have Woody can't be involved. Or would that not hold up?
I don't know. I feel like they could. You think they, if they remade the first Wives Club,
yeah,
who do you think would be in it?
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen Stewart. No.
Melissa McCarthy, definitely.
Yeah.
I would love it to be Melissa McCarthy, like Kristen Wiig.
Okay.
And like Tiffany Haddish or something.
I'm trying to think of one with gravitas, like a Diane Keaton.
Diane Keaton comes back.
Is there a Diane Keaton of
who's
now?
Got gravitas now? Michelle Williams.
Maybe.
Who's like a dramatic actress who we want to see do a comedic turn?
Okay.
Jennifer Lawrence actually would be good.
Is she at that point?
I don't know. She's like my age. She's like in her 30s.
She's, you know, I loved the that last movie she
did. It was great.
And for her at this point in her career to be like, I want to do just a comedy, I thought it was fantastic.
She, out the gate, was like winning Oscars.
Yeah.
And like was like, I feel like 18 playing a 40-year-old.
Right, right.
In American Hustle.
Yeah.
Like, so she's already got, she's done her serious
thing. Right, right. And now she's just having fun.
Yeah. I feel like Melissa McCarthy would definitely be like the Brenda.
She would be the Brenda.
I could see like.
And I think we hire Dan Hedaya. Dan Hedaya comes back. We have Stephen Collins. His wife finds his phone then he goes to jail.
No. So he goes
to jail forever.
I also think that this movie, you talked about this a little bit in your episode with Janine. I don't remember which one, but the 90s like had a lot of movies about divorce.
Yes, divorce was like...
It was like the white hot topic.
Yeah, and it was like, it destroys you. It's the worst thing that could happen.
Like, I feel like the first like divorce movie was probably Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, but that was the 70s. But I feel like especially like ramping up through the 80s and into the 90s, the 90s so much was about divorce.
Miss Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Parent Trap.
Yeah.
No, well, not Parent Trap. What's the one that's like they locked them in a basement?
That's a great movie. God, what is that called?
It's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis and
Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak.
They
love will keep us together.
Yeah, they want to get a divorce, so the kids literally lock them in the basement.
What is that called? Jennifer Hewitt's in it. House Party? No.
No, basement that's party? Kid in Play.
House Arrest. House Arrest.
Oh, I'm going to look it
House
up.
Arrest?
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to go through Kevin Pollak to look it up because he definitely has the smallest. Yikes.
No, he was on Mrs. Maisel.
He's done good things. I'm just saying he's great. He probably has the smallest.
I think it's House Arrest.
Is it? Why am I feeling like that's not it?
Well, I feel like you're very wrong.
Why do I feel like you are incorrect? You're probably right. Let's see. I like Kevin Pollak.
You got to go way back.
Oh,
that's another movie that was on HBO all the time.
That was the 90s, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was like 96, 97.
I don't think I've ever watched the whole thing.
Really? I've seen it 1 million times.
Kevin Pollak and She's All That.
Yeah.
I never remember. I don't
He's
remember
her
that.
Dad.
I do not remember that movie.
He's the one they make fun of in Not Another Teen Movie.
It's called House Arrest.
Yep, that's what it's called. Who else is in that? That's like
1996.
Is it like three couples?
Yeah.
Like all the kids lock their parents?
Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Pollak.
Yeah.
Who are the other old people? Wallace Shawn?
Yeah.
Is he one of the people down there?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, Christopher McDonald.
Okay.
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He, of course, is terrible in it, I'm sure. He's the bad guy. Jennifer Tilly.
What a cast.
What a cast. Probably terrible. It's interesting. You brought up before, it's an HBO movie. There, with this sort of cherry-picked nature of... digital.
There will never be movies like that.
Right. Well, there's no like something just being on. There's no you stumbling on something. Right?
Remember, who was it who said, was it a comedian or somebody who said like they're like naked shower movies? Somebody said that once where it's like the type of movie that if you're getting out of the shower.
Yeah.
You'll sit down in your towel and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, naked. I forget.
That doesn't happen anymore. Because TV isn't just on.
Right. I mean,
I mean, it can be
for a lot of people,
but it's but
for younger people, like you're not watching. You're not
a lot of young kids, at least from what I see. Like they watch most stuff on their like laptops.
Yeah,
like they're not even watching on a proper television set
or tablets.
Yeah,
kids love their tablets.
They sure do. Keeps them quiet. yeah, so I don't know. Kids won't have that you know, it's like one of those things that I think is just like just a millennial experience or like a Gen X millennial only. Because like our parents didn't grow up with cable like that.
No.
And our children won't grow up with cable like that.
Yeah.
Like we're the only ones who grew up with cable like that.
Right. But cable did introduce us to so many things. And cable made some like movies that were failures like Clue then became cult classics through cable.
The home box office.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a few movies that like I just feel like I've seen so many times because they were on HBO a lot. That's one of them.
Yeah.
First Wives Club is one of them.
Yeah. When they would have their Saturday premieres and then they would like basically like play it once a day for the next three months. But then
they would just, it just felt like, I don't know if he, I guess, no, HBO isn't like this anymore because they have so much original programming.
I haven't put on HBO in a long time either. Like if I put on HBO right now, what am I going to see?
I don't know. But I feel like back then it was like just movies.
Do they do softcore porn still or they're out of that business?
No, I think they're out of that business. I think that's just on Skinamax.
Around the time of Sopranos, right? They were probably like, we're above.
Yeah, we got to clean up our act.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like real, real sex was not.
What was the, I sent out a meme the other day in the group chat that was like, it's the 90s, you're watching real sex, you put Nickelodeon on last on your
remote. My God, that's such a millennial thing only.
Yeah, kids, what used to happen was you had a thing on your remote called last and it would bring you to the channel you were just on. So you would go to like a Cartoon Network and then you'd go to the dirty channel. So you did one then the other.
If your mom walked in, you'd click last.
You just press last immediately and then you act like you're not jerking off. To like middle-aged
it's
people dressed up like horses.
It's
or
honestly like so.
Real sex was always so not sexy.
It's so like the things that we made into porn that were not porn, like horrible like documentaries about sex workers.
I know
people would just like jerk off to them.
Yeah, like hose pimps up, hose down, which is a
hookers
harrowing.
At the point. Yeah,
it's a harrowing. Documentary about sex work.
You're like, oh man, I'm watching a blowjob right now.
Yeah, because that's all it took, and you barely saw, or like Taxi Cab Confessions. Like every like fifth one would be sexual, and then the others would be like someone talking about like wanting to commit suicide or something. It was a good idea, but you're just waiting for like the one that's partly dirty. And even when I look back now, there's really only the best one is the one where the guy eats the girl out.
Yeah,
do you remember that one?
Remember Dream On?
Was like, yeah, kind of that sexy. Was like a dirty.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to a podcast with the cast of Sex and the City for the 25th anniversary, and Sarah Jessica Parker was saying when they first were filming the first season of Sex and the City, and nobody knew who they were. She was like, everybody thought we were real sex because we'd say like, oh, we're filming the show Sex and the City for HBO, and they'd be like, oh, what is this, real sex?
Interesting,
because that was so popular at the time.
You know what though, real sex probably had a bigger influence than we think of. Because they really brought fetishism and stuff that into the mainstream.
I remember like our older brother and older cousin like getting together to like watch it. And it was like, oh, only the older kids can watch this.
It taught you things.
Yeah.
You
That's another thing. Yeah, I don't think kids, I don't know. It's like I saw a meme that was like, we're the only generation that will have to help our parents and our children work the printer.
Wow.
It's just like another one of those things where it's like it's just us.
Wow, yeah. I guess it's very interesting to be a millennial. Because you're like the bridge.
The
bridge between.
Because we are the only we are the generation that grew, that had a childhood without the internet, really.
Yeah.
But then around our adolescence, experienced the beginning of
and
it.
We
and
we went from analog to digital.
Right, yeah. Have had an adulthood with it.
And we... Like, I'm an elder millennial. I was born in 1983. So, like, in my childhood, I watched a lot of, like, TV from the 50s to the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like I've watched all of Bewitched.
Yeah.
All of I Love Lucy. And I didn't search for these things. They were just on. Yeah. It's wild. But anyway, we've digressed.
We have digressed, but I think it's all of a piece.
This has been PCMC. We're talking about First Wives Club. If you haven't seen it,
check it out. I hope we've done it justice.
Me too. Bronson Pinchot's in it. You know, still when he doesn't sound like Balky, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, oh my god. Meanwhile, he doesn't sound like Balky and everything else.
But he's ever still done. Does have an accent.
Well, but it's like a surfer.
Yeah, guy it's accent. Weird.
It's so not. It's never what you want it to be. Anyway, he'll be great in the new Beverly Hills Cop movie. This has been PCMC. We end every episode by saying,
go bye bye.